Yes, welcome to the catch-up, getting to that time of year where you've got to start thinking about Christmas presents, I guess. And
what?
Our tech guru, Trevor Long, came up today, gave us the perfect one, Ed Cavalli.
Yeah, it's the new Xbox. You'll hear all about it. And also the NBN, he told us whether or not you can get it, if it's worth it, and if so, how easy it is to get hold of and what difference it makes. That was good fun.
If you're a person who's buying Christmas presents in June, I'm never talking to you again.
Really?
Why, they're a good and organised human being. Not me, but yay for you if you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, we're talking about having run-ins with charity spruikers.
That's right.
God, I was hoping someone had punched a koala and would give us a ring.
That did not happen. PM Rich Uncle Mal, he did call in though. And what is the best supermarket to shop in? It's a very good question.
Good question.
To choose from, but one comes out a clear winner, and Robin's got that on the catch-up.
Yes, very lucky to have this man join us every week. Rich Uncle Mal, the most powerful man in the nation, the PM live from Point Piper. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Ed. Always a pleasure, and what a lovely introduction that was.
No, my pleasure. Now, listen, the Queen's birthday, a long weekend. We've just had
it. You don't get to celebrate it up there. No. You've got Queens in your name already, Queensland.
That's true. Every day's a celebration. What did you and Lucy get up to?
What I do every Queen's birthday weekend is ponder this question, and that is, when will the old battle axe die? And, I mean, she is getting on. I mean, look at Prince Philip. He's clearly lost the will to die.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
I've had him in the office Deadpool for 3 years running without a result. I've never been a big fan of the royal family because I am a Republican. Yes. Remember way back when I had things to say rather than lurching from crisis to bad idea.
Remember.
Salad days, my friends. Yeah. Salad days.
Salad days.
But no, I won't be getting a gong on the Queen's birthday or any other weekend because they hate me as much as I hate them. Inbred bunch of pommy yahoos. Let's leave it right there.
Okay, look, you've announced a citizenship test will be getting harder in order to clamp down on extremists.
Good morning to you, Robin, and yes, I'm glad you asked that question. We are going to make it more relevant to the mood of the modern world, more exacting in terms of what you believe in, and more Australian. You'll be asked to fashion a flag into an item of apparel, be it a cape, a turban, a natty scarf. We'll also accept cravats and arm wraps. You'll be given a number of coloured zinc creams and asked to paint your own face. And then, this is where it gets difficult and controversial.
Yes.
We'll be asking people to slam a few Bundys and Cokes and run in thongs.
Treacherous
at the beginning of summer. You can take the top off your big toe. So, yes, that's how it's more relevant.
Mal, there's a whisper today that we could be going back to the polls as early as next year.
No.
Well, that went well for Theresa May, didn't it? I don't want her to be disrespectful because she is a fellow Tory and we do love crushing the poor. But doesn't her head look like it could cut iron? I mean, there's some sharp angles on that thing. I loathe the idea of an early election. I'd rather get tit shortened over to Point Piper and take a spa with him and watch his little boobies bounce around in the bubble.
Okay.
That's how much I hate the idea of it.
Okay. He's been running lately. They've been getting smaller.
They have been getting smaller, but I'm not going to change his nickname. He's tits to me and always will be.
What's the song in your head, Rich Uncle Mal?
Well, I've got a 90s classic lineup on the randomizer and the selector and the Bentley. And this one comes straight out of the 90s, The Offspring. Come out and play.
Oh, yeah.
You got to keep them separated. Hey, man, you're talking back to me? Take him out. You've got to keep them separated.
Oh, wow. I mean, those thoughts.
Isn't that terrific stuff?
Terrific. It's a wonderful idea. Thank you so much, Rich Uncle Mal, the PM.
Like to say the Triple M rocks kabulcha.
Yeah, that's our heartland. Thank you, sir.
Okie dokie, man.
The other day, guys, walking along in the city, and I recorded some audio of someone who approached me. This is what they said.
All right, geezer, do you care about what happens to them pandas and that?
What was that?
It was one of those awful charity spruikers.
Backpacker.
A clipboard. You know, they lead with their hand, so you have to shake it.
You care about the pandas, mate?
I'm like, No, I don't. And B...
Then you have to answer that. And of course I care about the pandas, but I don't care about the pandas if you're asking me, is what I want to say to them.
Ah, that's nicer than what I said. So that's...
But we've got backpackers. I had a French girl talking to me about one the other day. And she was good looking. Well, I couldn't remember what she was talking about.
Because she was good looking.
Oh, why would a young French backpacker want to talk to me? Mate, can we talk about these charity people? Did you see that article in the paper on the weekend? 83%, this is the average of all those big charities, 83% of their money that comes in that we give them, that we donate, goes on admin costs and wages. Wages and admin.
83 cents in the dollar.
That's marketing. Terrible. To market that's themselves terrible. Is one. We
so
admin
17%
and wages.
Goes to the actual charity to
17%
help.
Of everything you give. There was one mob who was spending more than they brought in on marketing their company and the admin and everything.
That's terrible.
And they wonder why we're so cynical.
We should only give to small charities. There's too bloody many of them. And there's a charity for every week of the year now too.
Or every day. They get in trouble with each other when they launch one and then someone else goes, it's our day. And you go, hang on, is it?
No, yes. That's our week. Oh, we'll only have one day. It's national such and such. Oh,
yeah.
Mate.
Tomorrow is
it must
World
be hard
Blood
if you're in the business.
Day.
What is it?
World Blood Donor Day, as well as International Bath Day.
Oh, God.
As well as Healthy Tuck Shop Day. That's tomorrow.
So there you go. There's two fighting for air straight away.
I like places where you know the money's going. Not 1 cent is going anywhere else. Like that house we'll lend a hand that we're doing up at near Bribie there at Ningi, Andrew's house. Building that's no one has put money into their pocket at all. No one has earned a cracker out of that. A house has been built.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with charities having to pay costs, but it can't be at 83%. Like, you do need to pay you do need to have staff to administer what's going on, but it's got to be less than 50%. Has to be.
And all this marketing of yourself, surely if it's a good enough charity, it should market itself. Well, but also no, the people they use, these backpackers they're using, they're paying all them.
Okay, what do you want to do?
I don't know. What do you think of those spruikers? What do people think of those charity spruikers?
Paul of 8 Mile Plains, the good, the bad and the ugly of charity. What's happened?
Oh, yeah, hi. I had a small business and we just used to get really badgered by charities and fundraisers and, as I used to call them, professional beggars. Mm-hmm. So I sat down at the beginning of the year and just decided which charity I would donate to each year.
What'd you base that on?
Well, mainly their constitutions. And so I actually found out that Ronald McDonald House Charity, 100% of your donations go towards building the houses for the parents to stay at for when their kids are in hospital sick.
Well, there you go.
It was at the time. And then the next best one was Oxfam. Their constitution said only 10% of went to admin costs.
Ooh, I like this.
Thank you. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. You've done the research. Ronald McDonald House, Oxfam. Put those two at the top
of
your list.
House does a great job. I know it gets linked to, McDonald's. And
yeah, but they don't need the money, Marto. That's good,
right.
Because they don't need the cash.
Exactly.
They've already got another source
but
of income.
Oxfam
they don't
does.
Need it.
That's,
yeah,
that doesn't
how do they
have
do
a...
It?
I wonder. And they did their big walk last weekend when I was driving up Mount Cootha for the Today Show. All the walkers were out. They do their big Oxfam weekend. No, it kept the cyclists away, though. Chucky of Buchan, tell us about your charity.
I think the worst thing is that these ones, in the shopping centres, wherever they are, they kind of shame you into giving money.
Yeah,
to make you feel ashamed that you don't give money. So I just say, tell them the honest truth. I said, at 1 month old, my granddaughter was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. She's now 2. Every spare cent I have goes to the Cystic Fibrosis Organisation of Queensland to find a cure for my dying granddaughter because there's no cure. Sometimes it makes them pull their head in a little bit, but other times they still try and shame you. Oh, can't you just spare a little bit, mate?
No, no, and they don't care. Hey, Chucky, they don't care. It's a job to them. That's the thing that annoys me. This is just a job to them. They couldn't get any other job when they arrived in Australia, so they've decided to just become a charity spruik or whatever it is. They couldn't care less. They're on targets. That is not what charity is meant to be about. Thank you, Chuck.
What do you think of shopping centres that have these people that...
It drives people away, mate. It drives people away. If I ran a shopping centre, I'd be like, no, you're not doing
it
here. Because it pushes people away.
David of Deception Bay, you have a method of dealing with the charity spruiker. What is it?
Oh, yeah, I give them... they walk up to me and I say, you can ask me one question. And then the first question they ask is, how's your day? And I say, great, and I just keep walking. And then they say, but... And I say, well, you had one question.
That's great. You're playing with them, David.
It's not too bad. Not too bad at all. Robin, Marto, quick question. If I say to you musical theatre, who's the first name that jumps into your head?
John Michaelhausen.
Incorrect. Robin?
Oh.
Incorrect. The answer is Triple M's own musical theatre, Mick Malloy.
Where's this going, mate? I don't understand what you're up to.
Well, Mick Malloy, the champion of the people.
What are you talking about?
We've sent you to the Super Bowl. You've been lost. Yeah. You've been banned.
I've been to the World Cup in Rio. I've done it all. I've been to the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, you've been to the Middle East on battleships.
I've been to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
This is the way I roll, buddy. What's your point?
Why is it that I get a little text from one of your producers that says, ask Mick the following? My Fair Lady.
What?
What's happened, Mick Malloy?
You know what? Be very careful, because I will sue you.
Oh, really?
This goes to character and it goes to reputation.
Who are you? Tom Cruise.
Or are you not going to see My Fair Lady, Mick Malloy?
All right, so here's what's happened.
Oh, my God.
To be technical, I asked for two tickets to My Fair Lady.
Oh, my God.
No, but
why?
Because I couldn't get into Nonsense.
What? Is that an adult show? Is that, what time does Nonsense start?
Yeah, Nonsense. That was the show with all the nuns, the musical with all the nuns.
Oh, God.
Anything about Nonsense.
No.
So what happened is you may remember about a month ago, it was Mother's Day.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I obviously haven't done anything for Mother's Day. So I asked one of our producers to get me two tickets to My Fair Lady and here's the thing, if I provide the tickets, I then even don't have to go. So I bought a ticket for my sister and my mum.
And
then I don't have to go. But a receipt turned up on Sarah's desk for two tickets for me for My Fair Lady. So everyone's having a field day thinking, I'm off to My Fair Lady with the missus.
But you
heard my theory on this. You're only going to a musical theatre if A, you're in the tin and you want to get out of it, or B... So
is that on the poster?
Because it's good.
No, My Fair Lady. But I was the only musical I ever went to was Mary Poppins, and I got kicked out for upskirting.
Oh, dear.
No, there was a point where she sailed over the audience, and
the flash of your phone went off.
Nick,
and I went, that's it, Malloy, you're out.
Yes, Robin.
There is a very, very well known phrase out of My Fair Lady, because I'm a musical theatre buff and I love musical theatre.
Oh, what is it?
Okay. Do you know what it is? Come on, think about it. It's about Spain and rain.
Do re.
No.
Oh, the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
She's got it. That's it.
No, I'm channeling John Michael Howson.
I
may as well just go along the My Fair Lady.
What about kinky boots, Mick? Yeah, kinky boots. Kinky boots is more your style.
Kinky boots. I'd go and see Ugg Boots. the musical.
Is that a bit?
The other one that might interest you with My Fair Lady, Mick, is Get Me to the Church on Time.
Hello. Sounds like me. Get me out of this theatre on time. That's what I'll be thinking.
Get me out at interval.
Get me out of this theatre at interval, please.
Well, Mick, we expect a full report because
I'm not going, mate.
You have to go.
Go
on, Malloy.
I'll take my mum. We always raffle off who has to take my mum. Yeah. My brother drew the short straw and had to take her to a military tattoo.
Oh.
And 3.5 hours in, he texts me going, if I hear one more bagpipe.
The final song I'll leave you with.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
She's still going.
Yes.
Yes.
Come on.
No.
She's got one.
I've grown accustomed to your face.
I've grown accustomed to your face.
What is that? Do you even know this song?
So if I hear that, I can get excited because it's nearly time to go.
We're almost done here.
That's the last one.
See you, Mick.
All right.
Have fun.
I just know in my world that my three sons, 17, 15 and 12, are super excited about the new Xbox console. So I wanted to get a tech expert, Trevor Long, on the phone to just give us the rundown on it. How are you, Trev?
I'm very, very well.
Is it worth it?
Yeah, it's going to be worth it. This is not going to be available until November the 7th, so perfect timing for Christmas, would you say? $650. The big difference here is they've amped everything up. So, you know, like on the old Marshall amp, you take it up to 11, essentially. So this thing will not only play 4K games, but it will play them at the most advanced rate it's possible. So basically 60 frames per second and high dynamic range, all the things that modern TVs have. So basically this thing is being designed to suit all those latest TVs on the market, and gamers are going nuts for it because there's nothing like it out there. Even the PlayStation Pro can't do anything on the level this thing can. So the old Xbox versus PlayStation war is
over.
You know, shots fired, basically.
All right, a PlayStation coming back, or everyone will have to get Xbox from now on?
No, it's pretty much one of those, you know, someone edges forward, the other one edges back, and next year PlayStation will do something amazing, because really it's been a couple of years since Xbox had the lead. PlayStation's been pretty dominant over the last couple of years, so this is Microsoft's fight back. But the good news is there is still the basic Xbox available, so the Xbox One S, which they only launched less than a year ago, which is a nice slimline little thing. It'll play 4K Blu-ray movies, but it won't play 4K games. It's still a great console.
But $650.
$650
for the new one. Anyway, thank you. That's my question taken care of.
Let's talk some Trevor Long, our tech expert, EFTM.com.au is his website. Trev, let's talk some NBN. I keep getting letters saying, nah, not yet. You're not getting it yet. Just hold tight. Hold tight. The NBN's coming. How many people have actually got the NBN? And is it any good? Because it doesn't seem to be changing the world like we thought it would.
2.2 million homes have already got the NBN connected to their house.
Yeah.
5 million homes in Australia have got access to it. So most people aren't even connecting to it when they get it.
Have you got to make the decision, Trev? Have you got to make a decision to turn it on?
Yes. If, let's say today, Amato, it was made available at your home, you've got 18 months to switch it on. If after 18 months you don't switch it on, what you've currently got gets disconnected. Your landline phone, your internet. Yeah. So you've got to connect to it at some point if you want the internet. Right. Now, the thing is, 2.2 million Australians have got it, and I can tell you right now, there's not 2.2 million Australians complaining about it. There might be 20 or 30, because they wanted something better than what they got. But, mate, I got it on Friday. It's amazing. It's, you know, it is faster. It is a little bit better. But the number one thing is I've got more choice. I could choose from 40 different telcos, not just one or two. That's the big advantage for people, and that's what I want people to be doing is, if they don't get faster speeds because they don't want it, you can choose your speed on the NBN. You can choose to be really slow or super fast.
Can you?
But you can also choose your internet provider, and that's a big deal for a lot of people.
Oh, okay, you've just totally changed the mood in the room.
Yeah, exactly right.
Because we were all a bit like, NBN, right, great.
Bottom line, big tip, when it comes, choose the fastest speed. Because if that's what you want, if you want faster speeds, if you want to be able to, you know, download Netflix on 6 different TVs and all that kind of stuff, you need to get the fastest speeds. I had a bloke yesterday say to me, oh, it's terrible. And I went, what speed did you choose? He said, 25. I said, that's as good as what you used to have on ADSL. So, of course, it's no better. 83% of people are choosing the slowest speeds.
Trev, how do they inform you that you've got NBN? What method are they using? Is it text? Is it email?
NBN will send you a letter in the mail saying it's available, but you'll also know because you'll get like 55 letters from every other telco. I've got like 6 on my desk right now from because all the telcos find out your address is available, so they start sending you mail. But if you want to know whether you've got it today and when it's coming, nbnco.com.au. You go there and don't just look at a map. Type in your specific address. It will tell you when you're getting it. It might give you a 6-month window in the next 2 years, but it will tell you when you're getting it and by what technology.
Yeah. Trevor Long, our tech expert, EFTM.com.au. Nice, already having some folks ringing in saying that theirs doesn't work, so we might be dealing with some of that off air. Thanks, Trev. We'll speak to you soon, buddy.
Hey, guys, I had my radio on ABC the other day listening to something or other, and the guy on there was talking about the shoey over at the Canadian Grand Prix, you know, the Formula 1.
Oh, when they drink booze out of
Who
a shoe.
Who was it? Patrick Stewart. Patrick Stewart doing the shoey with Dan Ricciardo, and he said, oh, it's amazing, Dan Ricciardo invented the shoey. I sat there in my car just throwing things and said, you idiot. He did not invent it, and I can't believe he's getting credit for it because we know who invented it. Sure we know who invented jumping into the water with a budgie cage over your head and swimming with sharks. Hilarious. It was the Mad Hueys, and Sean's here with us right now. Can you just confirm that you guys invented the shoey, mate?
Mate, it's been handed down by our ancestors, the shoey, mate. It's in our blood.
It is in your blood. Now, look, it's gone worldwide. Sean, the Mad Huey stuff, every time you see a footy player, like, going to an airport, they've always got a Mad Huey's T-shirt on, and you can always go and get one, themadhueys.com. It's great gear. But, boys, this is your greatest hit, the shoey, and it's been stolen by Dan Ricciardo, Sean. It's been stolen.
Nah, it hasn't been stolen. Dan's one of the boys, mate. He's dead set. Like, I went down to the F1 with him, and
he's
just one of the boys, mate. Just doing his thing.
Are you getting any kickbacks from these shoeys?
Nah, people are just showing the shoe respect around the world.
Isn't it gross? Come on. Like, every time I watch that, I just think that is the yuckiest, most foul thing.
Have you ever done one yet?
No.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, great. No. Need to
live a little.
Nah.
Is that my job, Sean, to take my shoe off right now?
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's it. Pour the cup of coffee in there right now, mate. Nah.
There is not enough strong enough coffee or alcohol to be able to replace the smell of a shoe.
What is the policy, Sean? I always think it's okay to drink out of your own shoe, but other people's shoes?
Yeah, you just... whatever you're feeling, if you think that's the right thing to do at the time, then you just got to go with it. You just got to go with the flow.
Hey, Sean, from the Mad Hueys, when you saw Dan Ricciardo up there, we've seen him do it a few times. It's always good fun. He's got Mark Webber to do one. But he got Sir Patrick Stewart. Now, this guy is the world-renowned Shakespearean actor, Charles Xavier from the X-Men, and now he's drinking champagne out of a shoe all because of you. That's a wonderful achievement.
Yeah, it's pretty funny from just having, like, shits and giggles, and now she's going ham on the stage at Lewis Hamilton. He always keeps running from him, but Dan gets him one day.
Softy.
Can you give us the history, mate? When was the first time one of you brothers, you or Dean, did a shoey, and what different implements what shoes have you drunk out of?
So I think I've drunk them out of them all. Baby shoes, gum boots.
Yep.
Gum boots.
Yeah, everything, you name it.
Flipping.
I think I've got mouth tinea.
So, and then I rest my case. So, Sean, who would be the one celebrity, you know, your hero that you'd like to see do a shoey?
Whoever does it, like, I don't really care. It's just as long as you do it and have a good time and drink respectably and honestly, then
I reckon that's great. Yeah, I reckon Obama's a chance. Obama's a
Has
chance.
Has Mick Fanning done one?
Yeah, he's done one. He loves them, but he just keeps them under wraps.
Yeah. He's under wraps. And you know what? If Queensland win the Origin, someone's got to do a booty. Someone's got to take off the shoe. You know a couple of the footy players. Someone's got to take off a boot and drink out of it, don't they, Sean?
Yeah, I know. We've got to get someone to do it. We'll have to hit them up.
All right, Sean, from the Mad Hueys, themadhueys.com. They got a brand new range of clothes out. And tell us about your beer, Sean.
Oh, the beer's going mad. It's a textbook drop, and check it out on the madhueys.com.
Yeah. Well done, Hueys.
Goes beautifully in a glass, goes better in a gumboot. There it is. Sean, the Mad Hueys. You're a champ, mate.
Cheers,
speak
guys.
To you soon. See ya.
Say you wanna
Kev.
Nice production.
Oh, look at you.
That was a Kevolution yesterday. You know what? What do you reckon? We saw Kevin Walters cracking jokes. He got the team that he wanted this time. That last team was the product of Darren Lockyer and Gene Miles going, no, mate, pick and stick, loyalty, this Origin team, the decade of dominance has all been about loyalty. Kevy Walters this time has gone, nah, this is my team, it's my reputation, this is what I want.
It was very interesting, that team, the first one, he was brought to tears, or almost tears, by the omission of Billy Slater. And yesterday, Kevy didn't seem to be anywhere near as teary about the omission of Sam Thaiday. That, to me, said
Didn't
that
he?
This was something that he had more of a hand in.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
He tried to defend it with us when we spoke to him, and he was saying, no, I'm good.
I picked it.
But, I agree with you.
No, totally yesterday he was Kevy. He was business when he needed to be, and he was joker when he needed to be as well. So I love the Daily Telegraph. They're talking about this Tim Glasby, and, anyone who hasn't seen him play, I watched him play this year against the Seagulls down at Manly. He does all their work in the centre. He mows down he controls that centre corridor. Where did we have trouble in the first Origin? I can't remember.
Corridor.
Oh, that's right. That's what this bloke does. But the Daily Telly's gone. Is he a young gun? Nope. Does he run hard? Nope. Tackle all day? No way. So why did Queensland select this NRL nobody?
Oh, good.
Motivation. Put that one up on the dressing room wall.
Yeah, that's what we like. What are people's thoughts? I mean, we needed some energy back into our side and back into the series.
Come on,
I feel like
yes.
So am I taking from this you're happy? You're happy with the second team?
Do you remember how nervous we were before the first one?
Right.
What were we nervous about? You'll be a good one to remember.
Oh, you just weren't happy with the right team had been selected.
We were nervous that they are big guys were going to be too good for us in the centre because we were too slow.
Oh, did you mean I paid attention with Wayne?
Nah, no,
I just was reading the mood of the room. Come on. Okay, so what do you want to know? You want to know if people are happy?
We better run it by everyone, yeah. We'll run it by everyone else. We get to have our say. Cohen Hess, doesn't he look like Ivan Drago a little bit?
He's just one.
Is he a ranger?
No, but Tim Glasby, this one, he's got a little bit of red just in him, checking. And every team needs, so that means we'll have two redheads and we'll kill him. Don't you know,
we're talking about a Kev.
He loves it.
Kev.
Indeed.
Dale from Logan, what do you reckon, mate? Are you excited?
Mate, it's got. Can you still hear me? It was just cutting out a little bit.
No, we got you.
We're with you, Dale.
Okay, cool. Yeah, mate, Corey Oates, where is he?
Yeah, he's not in there because I think they want speed and pace and, you know, they want to move people into the centres.
Like, he was in great form for game one. I thought, there's no way they're going to take him.
He's the unlucky one, isn't he?
He's unlucky there, Dale.
For sure.
He's a good player.
Yeah, Dale, I'll put it to you. If Jared Wallace gets suspended, what about putting Corey Oates on the bench? Because he can operate as a forward reserve, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could. He's just an impact player, like, all over the field, really. He wants to play second row, doesn't he?
He does.
Eventually, he used to play there.
Isn't he the one you really like?
We both love him, yeah.
Good player. Okay. Ian's from Redland
Bay. What's Ian? I better not steal it. What are you going to say, Ian?
Well, I'm going to say that I'm pretty happy with the team that they picked. It's not about keeping players there all the time because they've shown loyalty and have played well. Yes, they played well. So let them go off on a high, but you have to start bloody new teams.
Thank you.
Rugby Union and Rugby League have done similar things over the past where they've stuck with loyalty and they've gotten to a slump.
Yeah.
So now they need to get the new blood and go right forward. Very, very happy with the team they've picked.
You're happy, though. Like, we're talking about the young blokes they're bringing in. Thank goodness they've got Thurstow and Billy Slater.
Well, mate, every team when they first started had young blood. Look what happened in 1980. It was all young blood. Yep. What did they do? They beat New South Wales. Mm. Right? Because people were given the opportunity to step up, let these guys step up, and I'm sure they'll do well.
Kevin Walters has had a fair bit of courage to change things.
Can I just ask, how much of this has got to do with mental, though? Like, you talk about young blood and you talk about, you know, like the old and loyalty.
No, it was Fifita with his foot speed that carved us up that first game.
So it's not the fact that now that they're one down and they've got to win it, that they'll turn that round and pull something out of the bag.
Hunger's a big thing in contact sport,
because I know nothing about who's playing and how they're playing, but I get the idea that if you want something badly enough, then maybe you can do it. Mm. No?
I like that.
Young and also young and just no idea of losing or just having a go is probably a good thing too. Like Cohen Hess, he's just young and full of beans, you know, let him at him. It's great. Okay.
Cameron of Logan, what do you reckon?
Much better team. The fact that we've got Billy Slater back in the squad, he's going to make a world of difference. Jonathan Thurston. I think the only two players that may feel aggrieved is Corey Oates, definitely. And Gagai running the ball out of the wings in that last match. They were phenomenal. They made all the metres, all the gains, and like they did more than the forwards. The forwards did nothing. So I think the changes they've made are going to be really good and gives renewed confidence and hope that we can actually win this match and take us to the decider back at Suncorp.
Hope so.
Oh, I'm excited.
Good one.
That's it. Red hot.
Yeah,
Robin,
I'm ready.
Let's get a tattoo.
Let's get a Cohen Hess tattoo.
No. Cohen Hess.
You can. Where?
It's everywhere.
Everywhere.
His face covering mine. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Okay. Okay, I find this fascinating because it actually does all the research. Choice sent undercover shoppers into 32 Coles, 32 Woolworths, 26 Aldi and 20 IGA stores in 33 locations across Australia. So if we were ever going to get a great comparable market, this is it.
Is this the best sort of survey you've ever seen?
Oh, man, it's good. It's really good. So what they had to do was they had to fill a grocery basket with 33 items, 28 of which were packaged products, either leading brands or comparable supermarket brand or a budget brand. So there were three different options and then five were fresh fruit and veggies. And this is what they found. Okay. The most expensive was the basket of leading brand items. We're not surprised by that.
Yeah.
Coles, $1.70.54. Woolworths, $1.68.74, and try and remember those numbers. Now, IGA was 6 to 7% more expensive than that same basket at Coles and Woolies. Yeah, so, right. Really, the most expensive supermarket is the IGA.
Just to explain that to me. Now, IGA, as far as I know, the person who runs the store owns the store. They're all owned individually.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay,
they probably don't have the buying power of the other ones, which is potentially why it's most expensive. But when you start to buy the comparable supermarket brands, so the Coles brand of something, right, Aldi starts to come into play. So then for that basket of goodies, $1.02 at Aldi. Yes. So we've immediately dropped.
It's big.
That's $60 straight off.
A big difference.
Okay. Woolies, $1.12. Coles, $1.13. Coles is coming in at the top each time.
Gosh.
When you go to the biggest savings from the budget baskets, again, Aldi really kicks in. $91. So compare going for the budget version versus the big brand version. You've got $91 to $1.70. That's a huge
difference.
So Aldi is the cheapest.
If you've lost me, you may have lost people who are listening. I don't get what the $91 to $1.70. What are you talking about, the average price?
So for example, you go in and buy a soft drink, but if you buy the brand, you'll buy Coca-Cola.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the big brand basket. Yeah. Then when you go to Aldi and you buy the Aldi equivalent.
I've been in there once and I've seen it, yeah.
Okay, so that then
is
there's
that the
a massive.
$91 to $1.70? Yes. Righto, gotcha.
Okay, so Aldi is certainly kicking in, but when it comes to the states, this is so fascinating. The most expensive places to shop are Tasmania and the Northern Territory. Why?
Distance
remoteness.
Traveled.
No, they don't have Aldi stores.
So they don't have the competition.
There you go. And the cheapest.
Where did you say the cheap was?
Yeah. Okay, South Australia and Western Australia. Why?
They got little.
Because Aldi and Lidl have just gone in there.
There's Lidl there, that L-I-D-L.
So there you go.
Then they're coming to Queensland soon.
Does it? Yeah, that's right. So it's all about the competition. And yes, of course, with the Northern Territory, there would be the distance issue, certainly in remote places,
you know, in
Queensland too. I like Aldi. If I'm running around, I've become a Coles person because I know where everything is, but I'm a bit of a, you know, I'm a bit of a, what's the word?
Your big shop of the week,
I'm
Aldi.
I'm terrible
Scab.
Words.
Frugal.
Yeah. I'm
German?
Probably Aldi.
You're Aldi.
The problem with Aldi for me is that I have to remember to bring my bags.
Yeah.
And if I don't remember to bring my bags
annoying.
I don't want to carry big boxes because I'm doing a massive shop.
Does that soak up the savings?
Well, mate, yeah, the plastic bags. Yeah. If I'm by myself, I'll tend to do Coles and Woolies. But, yeah, what about you, Ed?
Oh, I shop for free out of the dumpsters.
Yeah, man.
Fair enough.
Go, buddy.
Shop Aldi. Shop in Adelaide.
Men's Health Week this week. You know, we don't stop and talk about health too often, blokes. Okay. Girls are so much better.
Why is that? I don't understand that. What is that? Are you frightened of the information you'll receive if you go and see a doctor?
Yes, sirree.
Might be.
That's me.
Oh, what? In case you have to do...
In case you got to do something.
But what if that means it'll save your life?
But, you know, we didn't... You know, it starts from an early age, from girls when they start to become women early teenagers. We don't need to go to the doctor about things like that until we get sick. Like, we don't have to
There's
explain...
There's no rite of passage that puts you in front of a doctor.
In front of a doctor.
Is that what you're saying?
If you stay well, you can avoid the doctor for a long time.
But, okay, but here's the thing I don't understand from a female perspective. If there is something wrong, you know there's something wrong, or you feel like it's...
But you don't know there's something wrong. You just think, oh, it's a bit of a pain. That'll probably go away.
But then you leave it, and that makes it a whole lot worse.
That's right. But that doesn't bother because we're blokes, and we're told not to cry.
What?
We're told not to cry when we're young.
Stupid.
Well, because we play body contact sports with a lot of blokes, and you're told, oh, don't cry. That didn't hurt. That's one of the major things. And this carries over into the psyche and the way you think about things. When you get older, you go, well, no, that's not too bad, that pain down there.
I never get that.
Or that pain there, or that mole, has that changed? And that's the one I do want to talk about. I know there's so many things. I think we were just talking about it then. Bowel cancer, 12% up in the last year. Like, people are actually, maybe that's because we are checking more, do you reckon?
I don't know, are you? Oh, no, actually, isn't it bowel cancer? No, it's prostate cancer that they stopped having to do a physical and could start to do a blood test. And I reckon that's when the figures really soared because, well, the physical wasn't fun.
The old jokes about I want a little doctor doing that test. But the one I want to talk about is the one that affected me years ago. And I was lucky because, and I'm talking melanoma, it is one of the things that takes a lot of we are the headquarters for it in the world, Queensland. It's taken a lot of lives, and it's a really fast one. Now, if any blokes are listening, or if your girlfriends and wives are listening, if you've got a bloke, let's have a think about it, who's got fairly light-coloured skin, if he's got any dots and moles on him or any freckles and stuff, he is susceptible. If he's spent a lot of time in the sun, he is susceptible. And keep an eye on him, partners of these blokes, because they can't see what's going on behind them, and no bloke's going to look at themselves in the mirror behind.
So here's my question to you, Marta. You're the blokiest bloke I know. What happened with you? Did someone spot it and then you had to go and have it looked at?
All right, I'll give you my story. I was playing footy over in Italy. I was 25 years of age, okay? I was going to get married later on that year. Oh, that's why I was playing over in Italy, to make some money. Looked down just above my short sock line because I played a lot of tennis. I reckon that's what happened. I played tennis and just above where the short socks finished, there was this little, it was a freckle, and it started sending pins and needles up my leg. I went to the team doctor. Right, the team doctor, they're Italian. They've got olive skin. They don't know what melanoma is in Italy.
No, never seen it.
And I said, what's this, mate? Yeah, can you tell me in Italian? He goes, oh, simola. Mola. I said, yeah, no, it's a mole, but is it a melanoma? He said, oh, non lo so. I don't know. I flew home because I knew, because I'd already had a couple of things cut out of under my eyes, BCCs, all right? So I'd sat in a doctor's surgery and I'd seen the signs of melanoma. Change of shape on the outside, jagged change of shape on the outside, and I'd read, pins and needles is one of them. And then I would notice, hold on, that thing's weeping a little bit occasionally. And there was nothing else there, and it had grown from a little dot into this thing. I went, I think I'm in trouble here. I arrived home. I immediately quit the club. Finished my contract. Said, I think I'm in trouble. Without anyone telling me, I came home to Brisbane, saw a skin specialist, went into surgery the next day. She rang me at 9:30 at night. When a doctor rings you at 9:30 at night, say, we got the results, so I need to see you in the morning.
Gosh.
So that saved my life because melanoma is, and that's lucky it was down on my leg because it came back 2 years later, la, la, la. But some blokes, if it's up in your upper body, you may only have 8 to 10 weeks to live if you don't get it quick enough. Have you heard all these stories? Our melanoma is such a wicked one. So, boys and girls, boys, check yourself. But, girls, if you've got a partner, check him occasionally because you know he won't.
Good call.
Sorry, that's my story. No, that's my men's health story.
Good story, absolutely. Robin, what's Chappelle's latest Insta moment?
Okay, so one of the Insta photos she posted ended up in the paper, and that was her on the New South Wales coast, I think, with her just walking around looking lovely, talking about crisp air. The latest one is her and a chicken.
A chicken?
Farm life, she's saying. Duck lips on a chook.
Okay.
So, really, nothing.
I'm worried about what's happened here. Has it been 2 weeks now? 2 weeks, everyone?
Yep, two weeks.
She's worth nothing anymore because she was worth plenty when she arrived back. What's their end game? What are they trying to play here? Because they're saying that was nonsense in the paper on the weekend. They're doing UK Celebrity Big Brother. So what are they going to do?
Well, I don't know. And we don't know how to do these deals. Thankfully, we've got the expert on. Max Markson, publicist. He's been one of the mastermind of many
hasn't he?
Media deals over the journey. G'day, Max.
Hi, how you going, guys?
We're okay, but we're concerned. What's going on with Chappelle, mate? We thought they'd lock her down and then there'd be a tell-all something or another with the family, but there's been nothing. What's going on?
I guess they're trying to work out how to get the money. But it's pretty simple, I think. I mean, I put a production company in a room or studio with her, film her, and then they go and sell the footage and sell the whole deal to a Channel 7, 9 or 10 or whoever wants to buy it.
So
put it up on Netflix. Put it out, special on Netflix.
So that means they're keeping up with the Corbys. Is that a chance?
I don't think they're going to do that. I think it's too personal. It might too much. But there's definitely a deal there. And even a book deal, you allow that she's going to get X amount of money and give that to the government.
Do you reckon the longer she leaves it, the less interested people are or the more interested people are?
I think it won't make any difference. She hasn't spoken. well, she's posting on her social media, but you know, the day she does do the sit down, it'll depend what she says, and that'll what people will watch. You know, if I said to you now, you know, Chappelle's on 60 Minutes on in 5 days' time, it'll rate.
Max, do you believe some of those stories saying that Channel 9 didn't want to put a deal to her, Channel 7 said 300,000, the Corby said no? How much? What do we believe of what we hear?
Look, I think if I rang up today the head of news at Channel 9 or Channel 7 and said, look, I can organise Chappelle Corby, it'll cost you this much money. You know, there's a deal to be done. There's definitely a deal to be done. I mean, she and her family would want money. All the money goes to the family. She doesn't care if she gets the money or not, because, you know, they'll buy her a house or put her into a home somewhere that she can live in that's paid for. She's allowed to work. She's got to be allowed to earn money. Whether you think she's innocent or guilty, she's done her time in jail. She's got to earn some money now. Whether it's just doing a job, working, you know, behind the bar once a week somewhere.
So are companies interested in her? Is there anyone lining up? Has anyone approached you saying, hey, we have a beauty product that we want Chappelle to do?
Look, I think there's potential for her with somebody who's a bit on the edge. It's not going to be, you know, a major multi-billion-dollar corporation going to do it, but there'll be individuals who will believe in her, who will believe she's innocent, and will say, yeah, I'm happy to use her for an endorsement and for a contract. And I'd love her to post on her Instagram. You just know the first paid Instagram post she gets, whether she doesn't get paid for it at all or whether she gets $50,000. We'll get massive national publicity.
All right, Max Markson, publicist, talking about Chappelle Corby and the potential for earnings now that she's out and about. One last one. She's got to go into that jungle, doesn't she? She's got to be in that Channel 10. She has to. Celebrity jungle. If they can't land her, they'd just crazy, aren't they, Max?
I would think she'd be fascinating to watch in the jungle.
I'd love it. So, I'd love it.
Get
her and Mercedes in there. I reckon Mercedes tear the head off a lemur with her teeth. Feed the camp. It'd be fantastic.
Max, why haven't you approached her?
It's not my scene. It really is. I've got bigger fish to fry. the sort of people I'm dealing with, they don't want to know about me looking after somebody who's been a convicted criminal in Bali.
Come on, mate. Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough. Max Markson.
I did do Corey Worthington in 2008. God, it was 10 years ago.
Almost. Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, see, he cut his teeth on Corey and he's not interested in Chappelle.
Which is fair enough. Thank you, Max Markson.
Cheers.